Praise the Lord. We are not defeated. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. Well, a few are still standing. Awesome. Thank you, young people. I'm going to testify over 12 seconds, and we're going to read the text. But I want to give God glory. Yes. On Monday, I got into an accident with a chainsaw. And I slipped in the mud, probably would have made that mistake again. It was too wet to be cutting, but I gave Sister Amanda a scare. She took me to the emergency room, and thank God it wasn't worse. So if I hobble a little bit tonight, you can stare at me funny. That's okay. But I was nigh unto severing my left leg off. Won't give you the gory details, but I missed that bone by about half an inch, something like that. So I've done a lot of tough, manly stuff over my life, or I like to think so, and that one was one of the more foolish things, but God knows where we're at. Amen. Even when we mean well and we do something foolish. Yeah. Just slipped, got into an accident, gave Amanda a scare, lost some blood, passed out in the car. It was an interesting Monday night at our house, but I just went to work, traveled, got on and off planes, and God deserves the glory, so that's why I want to bring it up. Not a gory story. I'm fine. I'll heal up fine. But he's a good God. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. If you'll read with me, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, hallelujah, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Pray with me if you would. Heavenly Father, I appreciate your word. I ask that it not return void. Let us do our part tonight, God, to hide behind the cross. And someone in this altar, in a few moments, God, you'll touch their minds, God, and you'll help them tonight, according to the name of your sweet Son. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you for your attention to the Word of God. Christianity is not for the faint of heart. Can you say amen? It takes courageous men and women to follow Jesus. And I think even the toughest of men and women sometimes still struggle with the challenges of life that affects their minds, our minds. And I felt a burden all week, last month actually, on this topic, so we're going to do our best to deliver it. External pressures, right? External problems. I just, thinking about it, economic pressures. We got a new president in the White House, right? Concerns about the government, if you will. Health and well-being. People are worried about certain things with their health. Stay away from chainsaws. Can you say amen? Amen. Uncertainty all over the world. Uncertainty in home, family, and relationship concerns, right? Yeah. Hallelujah. Spiritual doubts and fears that plague our minds. We deal with something else. We deal with a little bit of this silent repression every day when we're out amongst the world as it becomes more and more antichrist. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, we see it. We feel it. It's palpable, this pressure. All right, to give in, to go along, to get along, to conform, hallelujah, to be tolerant, if you will, as sin runs rampant in our society, hallelujah. And what the Lord has dealt with me over the last couple weeks and encouraged me with, I just want to share with you. I don't preach a long time. When we're faced with these types of pressures, right, we can do one of two things. It's what I've boiled it down to in my mind. I can worry or I can worship. And for just a few moments, I want to preach on from worry to worship tonight, if you'll help me. Hallelujah. We can either panic or we can pray. Hallelujah. We can either focus on the problem, hallelujah, and the pressure, or we can focus on the power of God. Hallelujah. And I mean it. This pressure the world puts on us at times is something that we can really feel. Have you been there? You go out and you work your job, you come home and you feel like you need to take a shower to clean all of that off of you and dig into the Word of God, that pressure that the world puts on us. Hallelujah. We know we have to walk by faith. Can you say amen? How else can we please Him? Hebrews tells us, right? Sometimes us Christians confuse feelings and faith. Hallelujah. Feelings and faith. Hallelujah. To worry is to rely on your feelings. Hallelujah. To worship is to have faith in God. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, in my experience, I'll be as transparent as I know how to. 99% of my worries never even came true. Hallelujah. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6 real quick. I want to see what the Bible teaches us about this worrying. The Bible, Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. I'm going to read a little bit tonight. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Hallelujah. Behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Hallelujah. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first, hallelujah, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, hallelujah, and all these things shall be added unto you. I tell you what, this passage teaches us that worrying doesn't add any good thing to our lives, hallelujah. Worrying is just a waste of energy when we should be placing that energy on seeking him first. Can you say amen? I a long time ago as a little boy, I liked archery. I read this little book about archery. And it was about recurve bows, and I can still shoot a recurve bow, but there was a proverb in that book that says, the bow that is always bent will soon break. If that bow is constantly under pressure, that arrow is always pulled back, never allowed to release, Brother Hoffman, eventually that bow is going to break into many, many small pieces. Hallelujah. And to me, this describes sometimes the society in which we live. The world is strung up, hallelujah, if you will, always walking around on eggshells, always worried about what's coming down the road, not knowing if they can handle the next situation. It's almost as if one more thing enters their life, they're going to snap. Hallelujah. If I had to choose that one word that the Lord has been dealing with me about, how the world's acting, the way they respond to everything, I would select the word worried. And it gets better. I'm not here to talk about worrying too long. Hallelujah. But I know that many of us have come here tonight with very specific concerns on our minds. Yeah. Some of us are worried about family. Hallelujah. Some of us are worried about finances, health. Some parents are worried about their children. Some children are worried about their parents. I mean, we're in all phases of life. We've got aging parents, grandparents, right? There's lots of things. Hallelujah. Some of you are worried about God's will for your life. Many people are walking around, like I said, as if they're on eggshells, wondering what's around the corner. Can I handle the next thing that's going to come into my life? Hallelujah. And I tell you, I'm not trying to be smart or funny tonight. If you've never worried, don't worry, you will. Okay? I'll put it that way. Worry grabs you at the most inopportune times in your life. Hallelujah. Once it grabs you, it can squeeze out the joy of your salvation. One time someone came to me when I was a youth pastor and said, Brother Sarge, is worrying a sin? And I said, you know, that's a great question. And I went home and read the Bible more, Brother Magritte, and prayed about it. And I had to go back to the young couple and say, in itself, I don't know that I can tell you it's an absolute sin, but if you do enough of it, it might be. Because it pulls your trust away from God as if you're worried about what you can do about it, if you will. So I told him, I said, if you do enough of it, I would be concerned. Hallelujah. I don't know how you feel, but when you worry so much, instead of overcoming, you'll be overwhelmed. Hallelujah. When you worry so much, instead of being victorious, you start becoming the victim to that worry in your mind. And this incessant worrying, if you will, leads us to a dark place where we put our faith in what might happen instead of what can happen. Can you say amen? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Hallelujah. We know that nothing is impossible for God. That's our Bible. I read just this week, Billy Graham said something that struck my heart. He said, some people spend so much time worrying about what might happen that they never enjoy what is happening now. And he closed it with this, today is the tomorrow that you worried about yesterday. It's happening right now. Whatever you were worrying about today, yesterday, brother or sister, young man, young woman, it's happening right now. Did your worries come to pass? Or can you just rely on the Lord to take care of today and tomorrow and next week and next month and next year? I tell you what, worry will cripple a Christian if we'll allow it. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm going to ask this question. How do we handle this worry when it comes our way? Because it's not a matter of if, it's when it comes to you. Worry and fear. Worry comes from fear. I think fear is that tool in the devil's toolbox, Pastor, that has like a worn out, smooth handle on it. Because he goes to it so often. He uses it on people so often. And worry is kind of that byproduct of that tool of fear that the devil uses against us. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. The pastor already quoted, I think, this morning or tonight. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. I kind of think worry is a weight in old Brother Sargent's mind, if you'll let me put it that way. And the sin which does so easily beset us, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto who? Jesus, the author and finisher, hallelujah, of our faith. I'm telling you, church, Jesus will finish our faith. You don't have to finish it. He's going to finish our faith. Hallelujah. We live in a fallen world. I get it. We live in this fallen DNA. I think there are people that have certain predispositions. Have you ever heard someone say, well, I'm a worrier? They're a worrier. You ever heard that? I think that there is some hereditary predisposition on the maternal side of my wife's family because her family, her mama is just a worrier, right? And that's what she does. And Sister Sargent has a little bit of that genetic trait. And I've learned the older I get, the more I do it. Hallelujah. The more I've done it. Hallelujah. And I know worry, anxiety. People might have some sort of hereditary link to it. I understand that. Understand this. I mean, we're made overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. I get that, okay? But if the devil can use nature against us, he's going to use it against us. Okay, that's the point I'm trying to make. Hallelujah. The world will tell you there's many, many ways of battling anxiety and battling worry, from sleep schedules to certain diets to medication. Some of those things may help, but the main thing I want to do tonight for a few minutes is just dig into Bible therapy real quick. The Bible is the best thing for me that's ever happened to me or helped me with worry and anxiety and when things attack my mind. And so let's go to Exodus chapter 7. I told you we were going to jump around, and we are. Exodus chapter 7. I want to read about the Israelites' water anxiety in the desert. Hallelujah. Exodus chapter 17, and verse 1, and all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin, and their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord. They pitched in Rephidim. There was no water for the people to drink. Would you be worried or concerned if you had no water? Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water, that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this, that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? Hallelujah. And Moses cried unto the Lord. What's he saying? What am I going to do with these people? He said, they're almost ready to stone me. Pretty upset, okay? And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before, take with thee the elders, your rod. Wherefore, thou smotest the river, take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock. And we all know what happens, right? And there shall come water out of it that the people may drink. So Moses did exactly that in the sight of the Israel. He called the name of the place Massah and Meribah because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? Ooh. Okay, these Israelites, they're trapped in the desert without water right now, and that is a cause of great concern. I'm not better than the Israelites tonight. I hope you read the Bible with humility. But they had seen great miracles of the Lord done, and many of these miracles with Moses involved water. Hallelujah. They involve water, okay? Back in Exodus 2, God saved Moses from a certain death, hallelujah, in a basket on the Nile River. Anybody remember that story? God used Moses to turn the waters of the Nile into blood in Exodus 7. Hallelujah. God used Moses to part the Red Sea back in Exodus 14. God used Moses to purify the bitter waters at Marah as described in Exodus 15. And so now, just before God produces water out of the rock, we find them asking, is the Lord among us or not? Hallelujah. We know what Moses did. He called it the testing and the quarreling, right? That's what those words mean. Massa, testing, Meribah, quarreling, because of the quarreling of the children of Israel, because they tested the Lord, is the Lord among us or not? The very literal presence of God was evident to their earthly eyes in a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. But when crisis comes, they ask, is the Lord amongst us or not? Hallelujah. I think this is one of the most comprehensive definitions of worrying I could find in the Bible. Worrying questions God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You really there, God? You ever been there? I've been there. I'm no better than anything that I'm trying to encourage you with tonight, but I've been there. Worry always questions God. After all he's done for me, after all the provisions he's made for me, after the way he saved me, after the way he's healed me, hallelujah, after the way he's provided for me and saved family members from certain turmoil or death, and I have the worrying mind asking, God, are you really there or not? Worry always questions God. Let's jump to Psalm 95 real quick. This story is mentioned three places in the Bible. I just want to hit them, and we'll pray here in just a minute. Psalm chapter 95, if you can get there, worship displaces worry. Worry will question God, but when you worship, you'll displace the worry, all right? Psalm 95, oh come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, can you say amen? And a great king above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. That's such a psalm you can almost shout on Psalm 95, verses 1 through, I'll call it 7a. Okay? How many of you believe God is omnipresent? Do we believe that? I absolutely believe that. Hallelujah. If that's the case, we are always in his presence, right? But when we pray, Pastor, when we read our Bibles, hallelujah, when we fellowship one to another, hallelujah, when we faithfully attend services, when we volunteer to work for God, when we praise, and especially when we worship God, we are focusing our attention on that reality that he is omnipresent, hallelujah, that we are in his presence, hallelujah. We are taking advantage of his presence, if you will. Hallelujah, we are practicing in his presence, if you will. So worry asks, is God amongst us or not? And worship says he is amongst us. We're entering into his presence and we're understanding he's got this whole thing in control. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Sometimes I want to take a run. I'm not going to do that tonight. Might rip a stitch. Hallelujah. Don't want to do that. Amanda might get mad at me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's keep reading. The second part of Psalm 95:7. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation. There it is again, Meribah, the quarrel, back from Exodus 17, as in the provocation. And as in the day of temptation, Massa, testing, right? They didn't believe. In the wilderness, when the pressure's on, when it's hot, when you're thirsty, hallelujah, hallelujah, right? When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. How many of you are familiar with God's work? If I asked you to go home tonight and write down all the things you know about how God works or the work he's done in your life, you could probably fill out a long list, a long piece of paper. I'm familiar with God's work. Hallelujah. I know how awful I was, and I know what work he's done in me. Hallelujah. I know what a sinner I used to be, and I know his work in me. Hallelujah. Therefore, I am never going to doubt, hallelujah, his ability to fulfill it and to take care of me no matter what the circumstances are. I'm familiar with his work. Hallelujah. And they were familiar with it. They proved it and saw my work. Verse 10, 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that doth err in their heart. Hallelujah. And they have not known my ways. And then, sadly, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. Notice how in the middle of verse 7, it's kind of like it shifts from a praise to this real stern warning. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So we've got worrying questions, God. If you worship, you displace the worry. And then right now, here in the second part of Psalm 95, worrying will lead your heart astray. That's what it says. It is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Brother Sarge, you're putting it on his heart. No, I don't mean it that way. But if you worry about something enough, it will lead you astray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I felt heavy in my heart. Hallelujah. And then he swears in his wrath that they should not enter into the rest. When I read that, I'm like, what rest are you talking about? The rest you're talking about is Canaan. Yeah. Read the book of Joshua. I would not describe that book as a very restful book, you know. Yeah. But if you think about it, they had, you can read about the Israelites crossing Jordan, and we heard about them taking Jericho, and they had to conquer the land. They had to go through. They had to do the tough things. But they did so, hallelujah, with the absolute knowledge and assurance that God was fighting their battles. Can you say amen? And we have that assurance. We have that rest and that peace, even in the middle of a crisis, even in the middle of a conflict. We don't have to worry. We can worship our way right through it, church. Amen. Worrying will lead your heart astray. Hallelujah. One last couple of scripture references and we'll come to prayer. We're not finished with this passage of Exodus 17. You see it there. You see it in Psalm 95. For you Bible readers, you know it shows up a bunch more in Hebrews. So let's jump to Hebrews chapter 3. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 5. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which will be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we. Hallelujah. If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. The writer tells us the Israelites should have trusted Moses, right? Right, that's what he says. How much more should we trust Jesus? Moses was amazing as a man. He was awesome, right? Jesus is holy. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You can be homeless with worry, or you can rest in this house of God that we're talking about in this scripture. I mean, verse 7 and 8, they continue going on in Hebrews here by quoting Psalm 95. The writer quotes it again in 3:15, Hebrews 3:15, Hebrews 4:3, 4:5, I believe, 4:7, I believe. Five times the writer quotes from Psalm 95 based on Exodus 17, and he ends with a very tremendous passage I want to read in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. Pastor mentioned rest earlier tonight. Lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. What in the world are you saying, Brother Sergeant? Worrying is a product of unbelief, right? And it leads us astray from our trust in God. For the word of God is quick, powerful, we can quote it, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, is a discerner of the thoughts, intents of the heart. This is where I'm trying to get. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Hallelujah. On your journey to heaven, how many of you really believe that God knows exactly where you are? Wave at me if you believe that. On your journey to heaven, how many of you believe that God knows exactly where you are? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The thing that I couldn't get off my mind for the last month or so is a song, Out on the Water, the storm raging high. The waters around them troubled their mind with fear in their heart. They thought they might die. They failed to remember. The master was nigh. Hallelujah. He spoke the word. and the wind stood still. Hallelujah. Even the waters obeyed his will. He calmed their storms just like he will mine. If I'll just remember, he lives deep inside. Hallelujah. Come on, Caitlin, help me play a song tonight. He spoke the word, and the winds all stood still. Even the waters obeyed his will. He calmed their storms. I'm reading again, just like he will mine. If I'll just remember, he lives deep inside. Why should I worry? Why should I fear? That very same Jesus, he stays always near. Lives in my heart. Hears when I cry. I'll call on the master until the storm passes by. Hallelujah. Stand with me tonight if you will. I want to close real quick. Hallelujah. Exodus chapter 17 tells us that the ancient Hebrews doubted God's presence. They collapsed into worry and anxiety. Psalm 95 says, let us learn to come into his presence. Hallelujah. And worship and not make the mistake of the Israelites. And then here in Hebrews tells us that this lesson is for you. It's for me. It's important enough that he put it in the beginning of the Bible, if you will, you know, the middle of the Bible, and then near the end with the way they organize the books, right? Hallelujah. You ever heard, turn it over to the Lord and he'll work it out? You ever heard that song? That's the true secret of overcoming worry and anxiety. I want to move someone tonight from worrying. It would be a generic statement for me to come in here and say, oh, someone here is really worried tonight about something. You know, you've heard preachers do that. Hogwash on that. God wants you to know he's there for you tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Puts it in the beginning, the middle, and the end of the Bible. 1 Peter 5, 7, the last thing I want to read, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. We started with be careful for nothing. Don't worry about nothing. Be anxious for nothing, right? That's what we started with, but casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. How in the world can he use the word care twice in that scripture? Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. But that literally means cast all your worry on him. Cast all your anxiety on him. Then he's going to go take care of you. Let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you, Lord. I really appreciate your word, God. Not much of delivering a preacher, Lord, to deliver it, God, but your word, Lord, is powerful. And we're asking you to move tonight on our wonderful church, our wonderful brothers and sisters, God. If there's a couple here, God, that is plagued, worry has plagued their minds, God. It keeps them up at night. They just assume not have the nighttime hours roll around, God, because it's something that plagues their mind. I'm asking you to deliver them tonight, Lord. Help them, encourage them. Help us understand, Lord, that you're there. You're omnipresent, God. Help us be conscious of that tonight, Lord, and focus on that reality, God. Thank you for the word of God that we've delivered tonight. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Hallelujah. General altar call, if that's you, worries plagued your mind a little bit, the Lord wants to help you out tonight, church. Lord wants to meet you in the altar and just cast all your cares on him and let him care for you. Hallelujah. Bring your cares and concerns to the altar and let him care for you. Can we do that tonight? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Heavenly Father, move on our church members tonight, God. In the name of Jesus, we pray, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Why should I worry? Why should I fear? The very same Jesus stays always near. He lives in my heart. I can call on his name till the storm passes by. And why should I worry? Why should I fear? The very same Jesus stays always near. He lives in my heart and he hears when I cry. I can call on his name till the storm passes by. And why should I worry? Why should I fear? The very same Jesus stays always near. He lives in my heart and he hears when I cry. I can call on his name. thought they would die. They failed to remember the Master was nigh. But he spoke the words, the winds all stood still, even the waters obeyed his will, and he calmed their storms just like he will mine. If I just remember, he lives deep inside, so why should have to. storm passes by. Why should I worry? Why should I fear?